Welcome to This Song, the podcast where artists talk about the songs that change their lives and give us all a glimpse into some aspect of their creative process. I'm your host, Elizabeth McQueen, and my voice is back. Yay! And this week on This Song, we'll be hearing from Kelsey Ayer and Nick Ewing of Local Natives. They've released their third record, Sunlit Youth, last year, and we've been loving the songs Past Lives and Psycho Lovers off that record here at KUTX, the radio station where we make this podcast. They came to Austin City Limits Festival in October, and while they were here, Kelsey and Nick took the time to sit down with me and tell me about songs that reinforced to both of them that sometime an open expression of pain can not only create like healing catharsis for the listener, but can also be inspiring. So here they are, Kelsey Ayer and Nick Ewing of Local Natives.
Well, so I just recently had a Fleetwood Mac awakening, and I remember listening to Rumors like 10 years ago, and I'm like, oh, like, whatever.
Loving you isn't the right thing to do. How can I ever change things that I feel?
So for the longest time, it didn't really resonate with me until Ryan... I was talking with him. He's the other dude in our band. And he was saying, oh, have you heard Sarah from Fleetwood Mac? I was like, no, I have never heard it. And he's like, oh, you would love this. He puts on the song and I can't even handle it. And I start crying.
Wait a minute, baby. Stay with me. Why? Said you give me life, but you never told me about the fire.
And I start, like, I'm, like, tearing up, and I'm hearing, like, the, like, really soft, like, brushes on the snare, really close to mic. And the production on the song is so beautiful, and so, like, you feel like you're right there, like each drum is on either side of your head. And then she's singing... I don't know, something about this song, just the way that all the elements perfectly feel like they meld into one haze, this one body of liquid maybe that you're submerged into, where all the backing vocals are all reverbed out and they feel like this choral bed for this person grieving about something, and I didn't even know what it was at the time, but you can feel emotion from that, and it felt supportive, and it felt like this was, it felt like ascending to something bigger. Wrote it about, she was going to have a baby and she had an abortion, and she wrote it to her unborn child, and it just like hit me so hard how life has so many horrible things that happen to you, but like to be able to like channel that into something beautiful is an incredible gift. And yeah, it just hit me so hard. So that one really shook me up. I really love melancholy, sad ballads, stuff that brings you the feels. That's what I like. I just really resonate with that. I think that, you know, you get through so much stuff when you can process it with, you know, music. I feel like it just lets you sit back and it's like therapy, you know? So I love that.
Wow. So you heard it a couple of years ago, which means it was between the time when you put out your last record, Hummingbird, and this record.
Sure.
Were you like, and that record was a pretty like sad record,
right?
Like, were you still in a space where you needed to process some stuff, or like were you writing for the new record, or was it just totally a separate thing?
I mean, I think definitely, I think Fleetwood Mac has sort of wiggled its way into our new record a little bit. It was more kind of juxtaposing, I think, influences together. Like we were into, yeah, like Fleetwood Mac stuff, but we were also really into like listening to Mad Villain.
Living off borrowed time, the clock ticked faster. That'll be the hour they knock the slick blaster.
We were listening to John Hopkins. And it was just kind of this melting pot, if you will, I guess, of influences. And yeah, we had gotten out all of our processing, I think, and all of our grief on our second record. Toured that to what felt like no end, and you know, coming out on the other side of that, I guess maybe personally, I still look to sad songs to make me happy, so I don't think that will ever go away. But yeah, I don't know, there's parts of Fleetwood Mac on this record for sure.
But I love the idea of like music, sad music that makes you happy, like sad music that gets you to the other side of whatever it is, or like,
yeah, I don't know, I think it does that for me. I think everyone needs equilibrium in their lives, and I think, you know, that's what we all strive for, to have like an even keel. And I think in my personal life I'm pretty happy. I joke around a lot. I think it balances me to go to darker places with my music. It's a need that I have. I just like love like just listening to Portishead and watching Mr. Robot and just like having a great time. Yeah.
Getting dark.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know why. The
yin and yang.
Right. Course. Right. Yeah. I'm a suicide girl.
I'm gonna pick What's Going On by Marvin Gaye. I feel like
awesome.
Maybe a very similar timeline for me, where I've always known the album, I've obviously known him, but I feel like a year ago, I don't know, I just got in the big Marvin Gaye phase, especially that album.
Mother, mother, there's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying.
It's definitely a soul album, but there's like this thread of like, you can, it feels like you're in the room, you can see like all the musicians like playing the same instruments on the same songs on the record. And that track, he like double tracked it, so there's like these little nuances where he's like singing the same lead, but they're two different takes, so like, you know, sometimes you like kind of go up and you'll go down another one, but they're just so minute, and I feel like that, and it makes it feel like so much more human, and you don't really like really notice it at first.
You know we've got to find a way to bring some love and get here today.
Yeah, I don't know, it's just, it makes me not sad and hopeful and maybe a little angry at the world too, and so it's just a weird mix of emotions.
Oh, what's going on? What's going on? What's going on? What's going on? Yeah, what's going on? What's going on? Oh, what's going on? What's going on?
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of people are having a similar like reaction to that song, because that song, it's so relevant right
now.
Like,
it's relevant now as it was then.
I mean, it feels like it could have been written so that we can kind of all process this like trauma that we're kind of like witnessing, you know?
Yeah.
Daily.
Yeah.
Now, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I know, I mean, I've read with the new record, like, you guys, it's a very upbeat record, but you guys always kind of talk about it in relation to what's happening in the world. Like, it's not like ignoring it,
yeah,
but it's like kind of, how do we live within it? Am I getting this kind of right?
Totally. Definitely. Yeah, I mean, I think we're trying to find some sort of hopeful thread throughout, you know, all these crazy, horrible events that keep happening all around us. And I think that was a focus for us, where we wanted to be more outward and talk about the things that were we're seeing, but still give more reason than not to be hopeful, you know? Because I feel like with every generation, all these like young people, they always know where the world should be, and they're always like talking to the older generation, and they're like, they're trying to tell them that they're wrong, and like, you know, I just feel like there's a lot of reasons to be hopeful when you see each new generation has the same idea that like it's gender equality makes sense. Like racism should end. Like these things that they are so clear to if you were just born, you know, yesterday.
Yeah.
It would be so clear to you how horrible it is for certain people, how hard it is to grow up black in America or around the world. You know, it's just like, it makes sense that everyone wants to be, you know, happy and live their lives without having to deal with things that don't matter. We talk about this all the time, how activism is a very slow moving thing, and it's like, because of all these little changes that big change happens. Like, you have to keep fighting, you have to keep positive, and you have to know that not everything's going to change overnight, but you know, like, you just keep moving on and try to find, you know, some sort of happiness while we try to right the wrongs of the world. I don't know. Yeah.
And I think that's maybe why What's Going On still feels relevant too, not just because it's talking about the bad stuff, but because it is like really hopeful. I mean, that song, like, you listen to that song and it makes you like want to go out and change, you know, and do things differently.
Sometimes even just commenting on the feeling and emotions and humanity, not like I have a 5-point agenda how to like to right all these wrongs. We're just like, these are like humans feeling something, and I'm feeling something. It's definitely not what other people are feeling, but it's just like, at least talking about those emotions or like how you feel in response to like a tragedy.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, that'll get someone else to think or feel something as well.
I mean, as you know, as white people in a rock band, you know, it's we're never going to experience the, you know, we have the white male privilege in our society, but I mean, you know, it's just heartbreaking, and I still hate what is happening everywhere else, and I, you know, what is our role in it? You know, I guess it's, I don't know, tell other white males to
knock it off.
clue in to, there are other people than you here.
It's just as big of a sin to watch and say nothing as to be like actively against it. And I feel like there's so much going on in the world that we can't just ignore and just be like, well, you know, I'm a white male. My life's chill.
I was going to go play some love songs over here.
I'm just gonna go to, you know, my coffee shop, get my coffee drink.
When the sunlight covers me, I let a lifetime go.
Psycho Lovers from Local Native's new record, Sunlit Youth. And, you know, Kelsey and Nick, like, they're not the first artists to talk about what's going on. Jim James talked about it when I talked to him. He explained how, along with the music of Curtis Mayfield and Gil Scott-Heron and, like, Stevie Wonder's Songs in the Key of Life, like, those songs all made him want to move forward and be active. And hip-hop artist Odyssey explained how What's Going On showed him that you could write music that made you want to think and made you want to move your body. You can find all of these interviews in our archives on iTunes or Stitcher or wherever you get your podcasts, or you can find them all along with all the show notes and Spotify playlists at kutx.org. And yes, we have Spotify playlists for every episode where we put all the songs referenced in the episode in one place, so you can hear the songs all the way through and not just in clips. Because, I mean, I love making this podcast and I love listening to it, but sometimes I want to hear like the whole song. We'll have the Spotify playlist for this episode, along with a link to Local Natives tour dates on the show notes page for this episode. They'll be touring much of the U.S. and even a little bit of Canada starting in mid-March, and they're probably coming to your town. Now, also, if you enjoyed this interview, I want to hip you to a podcast produced by our sister station, KUT. It's called Stuart Hall in Conversations. And, you know, if you're like me, you probably don't know who Stuart Hall is. Like, I really didn't know until I started listening to the podcast. He's a British intellectual who was influential in the later part of the 20th century. And through a series of conversations with people who knew him or were influenced by him, you get to learn not only about Stuart Hall, the man, but also about Stuart Hall's theories, many of which might help you contextualize the current state of affairs. Like, I, for one, have his book Policing the Crisis on my own reading list. So if you're trying to make sense of what's going on, I highly recommend listening to Stuart Hall in Conversations. And that's it. You have come to the end of another episode of This Song. This Song is a production of KTX 98.9 in Austin, Texas. This episode was produced and edited by David Sanger and me, Elizabeth McQueen. The interview with Local Natives was recorded by Jack Anderson, and you can catch him on the air Monday through Wednesday from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. and Saturday from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. Taylor Wallace curates our Instagram account and does a killer job, and she's also on the air. You can catch her Saturdays from 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. And hey, I'm on the air on Saturdays right between Jack and Taylor. I'm on the air from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Kelly Seal is our excellent intern, and she has this really cool project called Keep Music Weird. She's putting on shows and producing videos with local Austin artists, and you should totally go like Keep Music Weird on Facebook so you can check out what she's doing. Thanks to Deidre Gott and Peter Babb and Todd Callahan for all that they do for this podcast. And yes, it's true. Our theme song is Mahout, possibly Mahout, by Austin's own Hard Proof. And have you listened to the episode where I talk to members of Hard Proof? Because you totally should. You can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, or Snapchat. Our handle is @ThisSongKTX. You can like us on Facebook, and you can subscribe to This Song along with the other KTX podcasts, Austin Music Minute, Liner Notes, and Song of the Day on iTunes. Right on. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next time.